Welcome to Christ Today. The love of God is amazing and wonderful. When I think of relation, I think of both parties participating. So we talk to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then we listen for Him to speak to us. And then I think of a spoiled child. Now, in the Bible, there are several examples of the children being spoiled. And we have a couple of examples with David. And for instance, one of them was, 2 Samuel 13, where there was Amnon and Tamar. And another one is in 1 Kings 1:5, which is Adonijah. And of course, I think of Proverbs 3:24 that says, "A parent who does not discipline the child spoils the child." And when you see some of the characters, people in the Bible that spoiled their children, you can see that the results really were not so good. And that is one of the lessons for us. We have lesson after lesson of what happened, and then the consequences for it. I think we all know the lesson of reading something in the Bible, and then we think, oh, we know better. That doesn't apply to my situation, because my situation is different. Oh, and I have done that before, too, and I have been sorry for it afterwards, because I find that the Bible has truth in it, and I should have followed the Bible situation and did what the Bible clearly told me to do, but I thought, oh no, my situation is a little bit different. I can do this a little different, but oh no. I just want to remind you, it's best to follow the examples in the Bible because they are true. And we in our own mind think of something and it is not correct. So I just say, trust the Bible. And sometimes we think we know better. No, I found out that we just don't. So learn the lessons. Learn the things that are historical truth in the Bible. Sometimes there's stories. And we have other stories to learn from also. We have the Aesop fables. Those are stories. There is the Iliad. There are stories we hear from soldiers or somebody throughout time or in our own lifetime. And there are lots of good and true stories to learn from. But I have found that the truth of the Bible is the very best truth, and it does not change. So, it's good to read the Bible, and believe it. The Bible is true. Well, we all have some sort of conflict, a personal conflict with people, and we can learn how to resolve things by the examples in the Bible. They can tell us what the wise thing to do is, and we are wise to follow the biblical example. Now, we have prophecy in the Bible, too. That's a little bit different about things to come, and it still is biblical advice because it tells you that something is going to happen. So let's remember to acknowledge God throughout our life and have that little prayer, just a little prayer, saying, God, what should I do? Lord, help me. I mean, there's just different things we can do, and that is showing that we rely on our Lord God Jesus to help us to understand and get through a situation. Now, there's plenty of people who think they have a message right now. Oh, so many in the churches. And I mean, they may very well have a message for right now. And for a person's life that is sitting in the church, that's good. But we also have the messages in Scripture. And so I think we do very well to learn what those messages are and then follow them. And that part about follow them is very important. If we know it and we don't do it, well, what good does it do to know it? So know it and then figure out a way that you can actually do it. It's all a part of being faithful to God and asking God to be faithful to you so that you can hear God speaking. And then, of course, we want to obey it. We do obey it. Pray and ask God and then listen for his response. And that's a little bit of what I'm going to just touch on today is about prophecy. And prophecy can be in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and we can see that the words about the future, well, it's good to know them so that we can relate to what to do in life. Now, there are modern-day so-called prophets, and I listen to them a little bit, but I'm always cautious that they're not in the Bible, but they are people who will tell you they have a word from God, and they do address the public. So I kind of listen to them. I do. But it doesn't mean that I would listen as in obey. I will obey the Bible. But maybe not the people who are speaking as though they have a prophetic ministry. It's something that we all get to examine very, very closely and understand what our position is. And of course, does it line up with God's Word, the Bible? Well, that's something we each have to examine and try to figure out whenever we hear someone speaking like that. So let me go back to about 1990. I was curious about the Christian people that said this or that said that. So I listened to those Christian people, and at times I pursued what they were trying to say. So I might have gone to hear them in person, or I might have listened to them on a videotape. And so there was a few year period, like 2 or 3 years, where it just came into my life that there were these people who were speaking. And I tried to listen and think about what if they were right. Now, it's an interesting thing to do. And I do have to say that you try to make it, or I did. I tried to make it right and see how it could be that these different people could speak similarly, but not quite exactly the same. What was it that I could pull together out of what they called prophetic words to understand the future? So that's a little journey in my life about that time. It seemed like a long time ago now, but I did try to figure out what was going on and try to understand how it could be the way they said it. So I looked for a commonality among different people who said they had a prophetic word from God, and there were similarities that you could say, oh, they said that, they said that, they said that, somebody else said something else, and it all lines up. Now, I am very, very cautious about listening to somebody who says they have a prophetic word. But I still think they can be correct, and it's something that I will pay attention to. Now, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I still hear people today who say that they heard a prophetic word and it made a difference to their life. So I don't know what to advise you to listen to or who to listen to, but this is my little experience that I have been pondering for the years. Now, yes, 30 years ago, long time ago. Does it still apply? Well, if it truly is prophetic, it is something that applies. So all I can tell you is that I am very cautious about it, but I do remember some of the things, many of the things that were said, and I try to pull it together so it is sensible. Well, let's see. One of the things that I have been impressed by is the number of people who, right in those few years, said that foreign troops would come to America in order to keep peace, keep order in America. And they would be in the cities and they would be in the transportation system to enforce order. Of course, that didn't make any sense for the time. Maybe it doesn't even today. But you can see that there are elite people who want forces in the world, in America, and other parts of the world to keep order in case there is a disaster. So that's one of the things that is a reality of our political life today, out of the hands of the strong people to keep order, the legal system. There are mutual agreements between countries to help the other country keep order if there was a disaster. Now, Russia and America have had that. I've heard this on the news a few times. And for me to try to pull it up right now, I did not do that, but I do remember that the news reported on agreements between the United States and Russia under Bush and under Obama. Now, what the agreements are in particular, that is something that anybody can look up. I remember hearing about it, but I don't remember exactly what it was. So maybe somebody would like to do that. But what are we to expect if we have foreign troops in our country to help keep order? And this does include the United Nations troops, because it's all a part of our international order to maintain an orderly, peaceful civilian life. So it's something that is very real, considering what the elite powers of the world want us to do today. The United Nations has international peacekeeping forces. This is one of the things that those prophetic people also said, a couple of them. that that the foreign troops came to America to keep order, especially in the cities. And after a time, things calmed down, and the foreign troops were asked to leave, and they refused to leave. Yeah, take it for what it's worth, and I don't know what it's worth, but like I said, I have listened to the prophetic voices to make sense out of them, and some things you can understand, and some things you just have to wonder about. I think Henry Groover was one of those people who spoke like this. It was Chuck Youngbrandt, who saw Russian and Chinese troops in America. The other people saw foreign troops in America, too. That is what I would say prophetic people, like Dmitry Dudeman and David Wilkerson and Ken Peters. These were all people who have some kind of a view into the future, and they do give credit to God through Jesus Christ for what they saw and understood. I leave it to each one to try to figure out the truth of the matter, but it does help to have looked and seen what the matters that were discussed were. So there's another thing that kind of impacted me not long after that, those in the early 1990s, I heard about the George Washington visions. And that was where George Washington was in his tent, and he was alone, and he said, "Don't disturb me," to his attendants. And there came a lady within the tent that was he saw as the Republic. So George Washington had a couple of visions. And let me tell you, this is not extremely well documented. But it's, in fact, it's not very well documented. But it's something that could be true, and it fits together. So anyway, in the visions of George Washington, it was recorded that he had a vision of three wars, and those wars were understood to be the American War for Independence, the Civil War, and a future war in America, where America was invaded and overrun by dark hordes from overseas. And when that happened, there was a life and death struggle throughout America. And America darkened from the evil within it because of those forces. And eventually, those dark forces were driven back overseas, and America slowly recovered. So that's the generality of the George Washington visions. And so today, we can see that there are some strategic conflicts going on where this would kind of make sense. And it's something which, that's why I keep it in the back of my mind as a possibility, because things are going on where this certainly could make sense to happen, to have a life and death struggle throughout America where foreign troops come over. And if you listen to the other people, it's Russian and Chinese troops that are actively in a war against America. So we have these agreements in place that talk about how there can be an alignment of the military forces. And there's ones that are agreements between Russia and China also. Those agreements in the 1990s, there was one towards the end of the 1990s that I did once look up, and it talks about how China and Russia would join together in their Marxist, communist philosophy of government, and they would oppose any other system of the world. And the other system that is so notable is capitalism in the United States of America. So you put things together and it all kind of makes sense, but it's not like there is a clear path to go down to say this is the way it is. And even today we see there is a struggle between America and the BRICS nations. The BRICS nations are China and Russia that are forming a financial and a trading system and a financial system. So these BRICS nations are Russia, India, China, South Africa, and then there's other countries that are expressing a strong desire to join this group. They include Saudi Arabia, Argentina, Indonesia, Iran, and a dozen other countries. So we can see there is something going on, and you could even call it a battle. I would. I would call it a battle between the free systems of the world and the authoritarian systems of the world. So it kind of fits into those prophetic people that speak also. So what is normal? It's we find things that become normal and we learn what is normal. Even just plain life as we go through life. Americans consider normal to be the way things are right now. And there is a chance that everything may change and we may have to fight for our survival. That is something going on in America, a literal fight for survival. And so many people do not see it. And yet so many people do. And it is dividing America for the people that see it and the people that do not see it. For instance, some people will recognize what is going on at the southern border. The number of people crossing the border, call them immigrants or illegals or whatever you want to call them, but there are millions of people coming across the border. And that includes people of military ages, including people from China. There are thousands of pounds of fentanyl coming across that southern border also. Fentanyl that kills, 100,000 Americans every year, aged between 18 and 45. And if you don't know, that age between 18 and 45 is kind of like the military age. So if we were going to have to raise an army to fight for America, they would pretty well be between 18 and 45. So all these things we are trying to understand and figure out for what can be. And that is a puzzle, and it is a struggle to try to search out. And it's not that it is so plain and obvious. If it is, more people would see it and understand it. But no, people don't see the video, and it's not on the mainstream news, so many people don't understand it. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a conversation with a missionary couple, retired missionary couple, and they told me about their friend who was in Phoenix, Arizona, lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and how there were people in their yard all the time, all night long, people crossing, obviously it was crossing the border, and coming through the yard. And those people would sometimes look around the property, and sometimes those people would look in the windows of the house to see who was in the house, and it was the man and the woman. So there's these things going on which are showing the United States is changing. There are things going on. There are pressures going on. And we get to try to understand what we are going to do to preserve the United States of America. And I don't have the answer. All I know is that there are people who see that times are changing and we could have to fight for our country. And I don't mean violently fight. Oh, but it could be. I mean, that's what the George Washington vision saw. But there's many ways to fight. And one of them is to keep our border secure enough so that fentanyl, thousands of pounds of fentanyl, does not come into this country. Thousands of pounds have killed thousands of Americans. It's something which is certainly a problem. And then we have all the things that come from China. Yes, fentanyl, and yes, all of our pharmaceuticals come from China. From mood-altering drugs to antibiotics, most of them come from China. And so this is a question of, if we were to get into a conflict with China, we could only wonder if we would get any other supplies from China. The answer is, according to the Chinese, no. They have a doctrine where if there is a conflict, they will not supply their enemy, which would be the United States, with supplies. It would be cut off immediately. So what do we get from China? Well, the antibiotics, the mood-altering drugs, many of the drugs that we get and use in normal everyday life come from China. So we get to think about how we could even do that. Could we have some other supply routes from other countries to supply the things that China now supplies? Well, yes, we could, but it won't happen immediately. China supplies so many things, not to mention shoes and boots and clothing, coats and all these other things that we use in our normal and day-to-day life. What would happen if they were to be cut off? What would happen if the maintenance supplies for our cars and trucks and tractors stopped coming? It would be a pretty hard time to not be able to change our oil, to not change a tie rod end, to not have, certain food items. That's another one. You know, China supplies a lot of our food now, from pineapple to various rice and apples and all sorts of things come from China. What if it was to stop? It's not that I have the whole answer to that one. I just say, look out, because it could be a great big problem. The United States is vulnerable at its southern border. Well, also in just its entire trade situation. It is a big, big situation. Speaking of drugs, I will mention another category of drugs, which is anti-depression drugs. And the number of people that are clinically depressed in the United States have increased. It depends on what your category is. But I will just kind of generalize this study. From 10% to 17% in many categories, and from 19% to 25% in other general categories. So you can look up this specifics if you want to. I just mean to say there are far more clinically depressed people in 2022 than there were in 2015. 7 years later, and look at the increase. Why, we have things going on in our country which are certainly causing problems. And if we cannot... if we have nothing to ease the problems, whether it's an antidepressant or an antibiotic or to have maintenance on our cars or whatever it is, pineapple in our salads. I mean, there are just so many things which, If China cut off the trade with the United States, it would make a drastic difference in how we lived, including if we wore shoes or not. What shoes and boots do our military wear? Well, problem upon problem, and we are doing nothing to solve it. All we are doing is becoming more subject to having things cut off, and us human beings in the United States live in poverty. That's something we all have to look at and deal with. It's not that I quite know what to say about it. It's just that I surely think we should have a few extra supplies in case something ever happens, because it's a long way to ship things on a great big boat from China to the United States. Or if we get other manufacturers in other countries, maybe Indonesia, maybe Vietnam, who knows where. But there are sources available, it just they can't start up right away. So it's something we all will have to look at and just kind of come to terms with. Are there some things that you should have a few supplies of? Maybe it's flashlights. Maybe it's batteries. Oh, batteries come from China too. The flashlight batteries or the other batteries. We are just in quite a situation. Even our military gets so many of its supplies from China. Speaking of our military, there has been a below expectation enlistment into our military. Oh, again, general figures. I'm just going to talk generally. It is down at least 20% from what they had hoped and expected. A 20% decrease in the enlistments in our military is really very notable. And then we have who is coming into the military. Is it the gung-ho guys who say, yeah, let's defend our country? Or is it the young lady who has two mothers and was raised in California? Well, have a look at the recruitment ads and recruitment posters, and you just might be surprised. It makes America look rather weak, especially to the countries like China and Russia who say they want special forces men who are powerful and gung-ho military men. What a difference to the American woman who has two mothers. Oh, it's not that that's bad. It's just that the frame of mind is so very different. So do have a good look at seeing what we can expect in our future. Shortages of supplies. Oh, not to mention oil. I could have added oil to the list. And what we are doing with the pipeline out of Canada and the natural gas problems that are going on and the things with Russian gas and how we have opened up our strategic petroleum supply and sent so much of it to China. What? It wasn't for free, but look at us trying to replace the oil in our strategic petroleum supply. It's not going to be cheap. And if we have a war in the meanwhile, and we've got two of them brewing, it's going to make a great big huge problem and pressure for the United States of America. We have all sorts of things going on in this country that are causing difficulties and crises. I look at what's going on for the debt ceiling that the federal government has. They want to have no debt ceiling, at least for a few years. That's what it's looking like. There have been negotiations between Biden and McCarthy for getting us through this little problem that we're having right now, just a few days away, where it was threatened that payments and entitlements would stop all across the United States because USA has run out of money. Because what? We don't have enough money because of the debt limits? Yeah, we can't borrow anymore, kind of. So it's going to be a problem that is going to hit us sooner or later. Sooner or later, everyone runs out of money if all they do is borrow money to get by. I mean, look at the people we know, whether they're friends or family. We know people that think they can keep borrowing either from the bank or from you and their relatives and friends and say, if you just have $50, I'll be able to get food for my family, or the car is not working, I need to get to work. Can I have $100 for gas? I'll pay you back. And we know how that turns out. Not well for the borrower or the lender. It doesn't work out good. And so our country is now the borrower. And you know who the lender is? It's a mixture of entities. And we have so many entities in the countries that are selling their assets just to get cash into their bank accounts. Like the city of Chicago sold the revenue from their parking meters to Arab Emirates country over there. And so they bought them for, I think it was $1.3 billion or something. So they have years of parking meter revenue that is promised by the city of Chicago. And the parking meter rates have gone up, so it's a good deal for UAE, the Emirates. But it's not a good deal for the U.S. people to have sold the income from those parking meters. And that's going on. That kind of thing is going on all across the country. People need money. The cities need money to fund their retirements for, what, maybe firefighters? Whoever. City personnel. And so they sell the assets. They sell a government building and offer to rent it back for 10 or 25 or 35 years. So that the investor now gets a return on what was once owned by the people, or the city, or the country. This is how our country is being sold, one little bit at a time. And it's a known practice. It has been going on for years and years in other countries. That's what the bankers do. They will buy the water from a reservoir and sell it to the people at a higher price than it used to be. So that's one of the things that is going on in the United States, just like it has gone on in other countries, in Egypt and in African countries. It's a normal practice for the money elite people. And it's a normal thing to have happen when governments cannot manage their money properly and they overspend continually. So that's something that is going on with our Congress also, with our, call them politicians. They are selling all the assets right from under us just so that they don't have a collapse in the moment, in the month, in the year. But one day, these problems are going to come home to the American people. And yes, there will be a crash, and we keep postponing it, and the crash keeps getting bigger and bigger. So what can we do? Can we change it for the country? Can we elect new politicians? It doesn't seem to be working. Nothing seems to be working. So there's a lot of people that are expecting a crash, and if that is happening, expect it to take a little bit longer to get here and to last for many years. Crashes do not just heal themselves. They do not come back to normal. They hurt, and they destroy the way of life for the citizens. So there's always something you can do. Nothing is going to be adequate, in my little opinion. because you can never have enough food and enough supplies. I mean, do you have nails and screws and plywood and rope and just what you need to fix your home, not to mention windows and a plumbing repair? No, and those are things that are doubling and tripling in prices. It's all those things. It's going to be a hardship for all of America because our politicians have, in effect, sold us to the elite. And we have systems going on right now where that is continuing, and we don't seem to recognize it. Well, we don't have central bank digital currency yet, but the Federal Reserve is looking at it, and they are setting up a system where every transaction that we make will be monitored, and it could be controlled or stopped. That's the way it is in China. They have 1.3 billion people in China, and every one of them is controlled in what they can spend. Sometimes they're allowed to go to a private school. Sometimes they're allowed to pay their taxes. Sometimes the monitoring systems see if they jaywalk or if they throw trash on the ground. And then they have a social score that has a penalty. So all these things can happen here. Look, it happens all over the world. It happens in India, 1.3 billion. It happens in China, 1.3 billion. The little 300 million people we have in the United States would be easy to control. And it's something which many of the big banking people want to do that. That's going on right now with the banking failures that are going on in this country. And there are forces that want to contain and control Americans. The International Monetary Fund is one of them. You see, there's the unicoin that is happening right now with the International Monetary Fund. There is the FedNow coin going on in the United States of America with the Federal Reserve. All these are efforts to control us, we the people of the United States. It is something which, just like in China and India and Russia, where they have basically done away with cash. I mean, yes, they have ones and fives and tens, but no 20s, no 50s, no hundreds in India, and China's about the same. So no cash means everything is watchable. And of course, I know plenty of people who say, I don't have anything to hide, let them look. Well, one day you might. One day you might want to say, sure, we bought 3 syrups and 10 cans of corn, but no, you can't have them. This is America. Oh, but you don't need 10 cans. You don't need as many as you bought, so just we're going to borrow them from you and give you credit to buy your next ones that are unavailable. I mean, that's how it is in so much of the world, that you can't buy what you want and what you need. Well, that's a part of the central bank digital currency that is going on. Whether it's, sure, it's not quite in effect now, but it is setting up the system for it. So we have these things going on with big business, and it is in effect setting up a beast system that is described in the Bible. And so how will we, for instance, get our benefits? Do you get Social Security? Do you get a food card, food stamps, or some kind of a benefit? Are you required to use their digital currency to pay your loan for your house or to pay your taxes? I mean, this is what is going to be set up, where you will have no choice, and that is just the way it will be. It's starting to have the framework for it right now. But people somehow don't seem to recognize that it's going to affect them. And of course, the powers that be don't want you to think it's going to affect each one of us and you. No, they want to say, oh, there's a way out. We are not setting up a beast system. We are not setting up a mark of the beast either. No, of course not. We know that this is what the people don't want, but how has it been going for the voting, by the way? Speaking of what the people want or don't want, speaking of the protests and the marches that have gone on in every major country of the world, in every major city of the world, protest after protest, and you know what changes, don't you? Nothing changes. The people in charge do whatever they want, and they say, we're going to watch after you. In fact, your bank account is going to be monitored or shut down. Look what's happened in other countries. That's what's happened. Even in our neighbor to the north, Canada, that happened in that the trucker protest a year and a half ago. It just, things are happening right now, and we are losing our freedoms rapidly. For instance, how many of us have gone into the stores when COVID was a crisis and said, oh, no, I'm not going to wear my mask. Lots of luck. Oh, yes, and how many people have refused to get their vaccines? A lot of people did. But a lot of people said, oh, no, I want my job, so you can stick that enzymes and animal cells into my arm and I'll be okay. Well, we are okay for a while until our immune system has a reaction. It's something which is certainly debatable because we get all sorts of information that is conflicting. And what are you going to believe anyway? The system is set up where we get to say yes to the job that we want, and yes, give me a vaccine that has animal cells in it, or even fetal tissue cells. And by the way, put them in my child too, because I want them to go to school and have a normal upbringing. Well, then your children gets that also. And it's something which, if you want to avoid the system, it's not going to be easy. You have to have a plan. How are you going to get the food or the whatever, the hardware that you need, if you can't go shopping in the stores because you wouldn't wear a mask? How are you going to do this with the medical situation? How are you going to do it with the school system and your young children or grandchildren? It is not an easy thing. And if you have no idea how you're going to do it, well, I have a pretty good idea that you are simply going to comply with the system. Not an easy thing, but none of it is easy. And I'm thinking of that Matthew 7:23, where it says the road is wide to, well, what in effect was hell, and the road is narrow to what in effect was heaven. So we have a choice. Are we going to take the wide road or the narrow road? And how do we do it if everybody says, oh, go this way, go this way? But no, you say, I need to go on the narrow path. It won't be easy. They're not going to make it easy for you. But you have to have figured it out and have had a system in place for you to work things out so that you can live. That's a part of it. You might have to become a farmer. You might have to farm your own food and grains and vegetables. I mean, who said it was going to be easy? No, the easy way is the path to slavery, because they want you to be a slave. So you have to look out and see, what are you going to do? Yes, of course, we all have our relationship with God, Jesus, and he will see us through to his kingdom if we belong to him. So that means be born again, just like John 3:3 says. Well, you don't get to do things your way. You get to do things the way the system forces you to do them. And this is also a part of what God says to do. He tells you what to do, but do we want to do it, or do we want to do things our own way and say, I can do it? Well, This is something we all get to make a big choice and decision about. We all have choices. What are we going to do when things get tough? Well, we hope to be able to use our knowledge and our wisdom so that we can stay alive through the difficult times. Why? Not so that we can live, or maybe it is. That is a good reason, just to stay alive and be a part of the lives of the people who you love. But it is also a part of eternal life, because we are to speak about the kingdom of God and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is something we all want to do. So I urge you to look and examine, how can you do it? It's not that it's going to be easy, but the choices have to be made now so that you can have a plan in place for you to survive this system and you can be faithful to God, Jesus Christ. That's what we all want to do, and we do that with as certain of a system as we can have. Now, right now, the system is pretty certain. We can have our gas and our groceries if we belong to the system. But if you want to live a little bit different, a little bit outside of the system, it is not easy, and you are going to have a plan to know how you're going to be a part of a Christian community. This is something we've got things going on all around us. You can see the goodness, you can see the badness. And there's questions all over about what is evil going to do. As an example here, there were 30 tons. It was 30 tons of a fertilizer that can be turned into an explosive. And it was stolen right out of a boxcar on a train that was going from somewhere by Montana to California. And they found the boxcar in California with all of their fertilizer gone. It was essentially swept clean. All the fertilizer was gone, 30 tons of it gone. That is the same fertilizer that was used for the Oklahoma City bombing. So there are indicators about what's coming, and certainly we don't know, but we should be able to get through a time of difficulty, a time of difficulty where things are going to happen that are most unpleasant. Look, there are people who want to see, especially the population of the United States, dead. But remember the Georgia Guidestones? I'm sure you've heard of them. They predict or tell us that 14 out of 15 people ought to be done away with, dead. I mean, you figure out how that would be. I'm not exactly sure, but this is what the first guide indicator is on the Georgia Guidestones. Reduce the population of the earth to, you know, they would call it a sustainable level. Well, all these things are going on. We have to figure out how we're going to live through it. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to be faithful to God, Jesus, as we preach the good news of the gospel. It's something which won't just come easily. It's something we're going to have to work on. And as these times try to conform us to the system, it's not going to be easy. There are things going on. We see the indications here and there. The wife of Albert Stubblebine III, who was in charge of U.S. Army intelligence, and one of the things he said was that 9/11 could not have happened by the way that the 9/11 report said. And, you know, within a year and a half of him saying that, somehow he just died. Anyway, his wife was a doctor and primarily in Europe, and she treated many of the elite people in Europe. And she had a patient one day who said that it's about to begin. The purge is about to begin. And she wondered about that, didn't really say anything, but did look into it. And it is the depopulation of Earth that was being referred to. She asked a little bit, didn't get any real information, but found out things later. So there are things going on that if we want to survive them, we're going to have to use wisdom as to how to get through the difficulties here and there. It's not going to be easy, but we weren't told it was going to be easy. We were told that those who survive to the end shall be saved. And who will those be? Well, it doesn't sound so easy, but we want to be among those to be faithful as we live for Jesus Christ. So that's something we want to do. Now, do remember that you can listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today again by going to the website www.christtoday.org. You touch on the place where it says John Stephenson, and then find the date that you want. Touch that, and you can hear another broadcast or this broadcast. It's some people like to hear it. And I also invite you to write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. There's things that you might want to have a prayer request about, or maybe something else too. Certainly I appreciate the support that everybody has given me for the radio broadcast. I'm always in need for that because it's not real easy getting back by on a retirement income. So it's something I certainly appreciate, every donation that I get, and I want to thank you for the ones in the past and ones in the future. Thank you very much. And we are in a situation of our country having some troubles coming up, so I hope that every one of us is thinking about how to be prepared. Yes, for us, and yes, for the people we love. So God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.